Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey, we're back. We're black. We're brown. And I am writing solo. It's your girl, Mandy, aka Mandy Money. And I am not going to be alone for much longer, y'all. For 8 years, my little brother, Alex Woodruff, has been petitioning to be a guest on Brown Ambition. And finally, he asked at the right time. I have never been more impressed with him as not just a career professional, but also from a financial perspective, what he's managed to do just by the tender age of 31. I can't believe he's old, but also that makes me so much older. But anyway, he has paid off a condo, paid off $50,000 of student loan debt, built his own beautiful, gigantic home in the heart of our hometown of Atlanta. He has an Airbnb property. And on top of that, he is a badass tech sales rep for multiple companies like IBM and Salesforce. And did I even mention that he has this new thriving creative endeavor as a filmmaker? So I am inviting my little brother, my little bruv, Alex, on the show today. And I hope that you all enjoy this conversation. All right. So, you know, now I have this, I don't know what to call myself. And people say, like, what do you do now? I'm like, I do a lot of things. But one of the core things is I have the Mandy Moneymaker career coaching community, which I've just started in the last couple of years. And you've always been very supportive of that. Thank you. But it was sort of exciting for me in a sick kind of weird way. Again, I'm a terrible person. Unlike yourself, you're very pure. But when you got let go, when it happened to you,
how do you reveal like important things like this in public? You've never told me that you liked it when I got laid off.
Well, from the sense of like, I love it when anyone comes to me with a real life career conundrum and I'm like, ooh, data and project. And I want to watch this story unfold so I can learn to make me a better coach, you know?
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. So when you, but also, there's my therapist asked me, she's like, what is it about you and Alex that you think makes you guys have so much faith in yourself or successful or whatever? And I was like, I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but like, I'm not worried about either of us. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about, there's no real sense of getting let go could derail Alex's success. You know what I mean? The same way for me, like if tomorrow, God forbid, they take away Brown Ambition. I don't know who is in charge of that. No one, because we own it, but whatever. Like I'll find some way, like I'll be okay. So I feel like when you came to me with, you know, unfortunately being let go, while I was concerned and I wanted to help you, I also like wasn't, I was like, oh, he'll bounce back. He's going to be fine. You know what I mean? So that's why I think I could like take myself out of it and be like, ooh, project. And like, it's fun. But I want you to talk about that because I think you're such an incredible example. And I told you this at the time, of professional resilience and someone who, you know, you were at this place for less than a year or just about a year.
It was less than a year. It was around 9-10 months. Yeah.
And you're like me, a job hopper. So how many, this was like your, how many jobs? And I don't know, how many jobs did you have up to this point? How many years?
I'll say I'm an unwilling job hopper. I'm searching for long-term commitment. I think I found it.
Like, okay, I was good. Hear that, Fiddler?
I was not trying to like, hop from the next thing to the next thing. It's when you're in the startup world in tech, this can happen. It's kind of the risk you take when you go from an IBM or a Salesforce, which is where I worked out of college, into the startup world where it's a lot faster, a lot looser, and you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. The flip side of that is that you can have massive earning potentials. You have a lot of autonomy to run yourself and your business like it's your business. And it speaks to me more, going back to what we talked about earlier. It speaks to who I am to work at a company that I know the CEO, I have a relationship with that person, and I know what we stand for, and I can reflect that. So, getting laid off was tough. It was very, very startling because I think highly of myself. And so while I wasn't shocked, because I knew that as a company we weren't performing, and as a individual I could have been doing better, but I was definitely surprised. I thought that it wouldn't have been, if it was going to happen, I thought I would have been safe. So there's a couple of things I want to say. Like, definitely I have a chip on my shoulder. And when you talk about, you always knew I was going to be okay, you're not worried about me, you're not worried about you. Like, I'm going to be okay because I'm going to make sure that whoever made that decision regrets it one way or another. And they probably won't. They don't.
Ooh, so you do have like a
little bit in my head. Yeah, I want to like make them regret it. I want them to be like, man, I cannot believe we did that dumb shit. Like, that's what I want. And so I'm going to force that to happen. And so Fiddler, where I work, is getting the hardest working version of me, like, possible. It is the, I'm on go mode right now because I need to validate not only to myself, but to this imaginary hater who I've created in my head, who thinks like, I'm going to fail, I'm going to flop. Like, that is how I operate. But on the other end of it, in terms of like when it happened and the fear that I had, there's two reasons I wasn't really afraid. One is that my girlfriend has my back. Like, she financially can help us out and get us through a period of lean times. And then the other thing, it's not all that lean over here. I'm doing okay. Like, I'm not scraping the bottom.
You didn't have a lot of cash in the bank, which you expressed to me, but you did have an Airbnb.
Like, what's the worst that can happen?
You know,
I sell my massive house and make a bunch of money off of it, and then by the time I'm done doing that, I have a new job. And like, you just got to be able to be adaptable. Like, I wanted this house, but what if it doesn't work out? That's okay. Like, I need what's actually important to me as a human. It isn't this house. It's not this neighborhood. It's not the job that I was in at the time. It's like, how do I ensure that I'm not losing sight of what's actually important to me? And so when I got laid off, it was scary for a little bit. But once I started thinking about it, I'm like, I'll be fine. I'm going to handle this. And no matter what, nothing's off the table as long as, you know, me and the people who I love are protected and we're fine. And maybe we live in a smaller place. Maybe we rent for a while. None of those things ended up happening. I got a new job in like 3 weeks, but like,
yes. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
First of all, your first correct step was to call me.
I called you almost immediately, right? I don't know.
I was extremely pregnant and, you know, about to pop any.
You were,
day.
You were like any moment now. I'm like, hey,
we're kind of putting a date on it. If we do that, do you think that matters?
Nah, you've been pregnant twice.
Oh, you're right. Well, you know, pro-life. I've been pregnant three times.
I don't think anybody's really sleuthing that hard. I'm fine with that.
You're right. Okay. So of course you called me right away.
Did you say pro-life? I just caught that.
Pro-life. I've been pregnant three times. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I caught up with you there.
Stick around, kid. You'll learn some stuff today. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right. So you called me up. We talked about it. And like immediately, I feel like it was your full-time job to be looking for work. And like quickly talk about a few things that you did that you feel like 3 weeks later, you had an incredible, not only did you have an incredible job, because we got to the negotiation, which was also so fun for me to like have a backseat to watching you negotiate, because I love seeing it happen in real time. But you had options in 3 weeks. It wasn't just like, I got a break. It was you had two or three potential opportunities. So I think it's really crucial for people to understand how that came to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like when you brought up how I lost hope in college, it was the same exact scenario. Like I got
hope picked. Scholarship, not hope in his life.
Oh, you're right. I forget people aren't from Atlanta. I lost the hope scholarship. Yeah. I did not lose hope as a person. Yeah, I lost the scholarship that I had going to college. And that was a big wake up call. It reminded me to keep the main thing, and understand what my floor is. And for me, in order to do everything I love and everything that's important to me, I need to be a highly functional software sales executive. And if the place I was at, I wasn't able to do that or deliver, I need to go and fix that first. And if I don't, everything else is now under threat. I can't invest in my movies. I can't have a lifestyle I want to live. I can't, you know, put into my retirement, et cetera. So it was extremely important. To your point, it was like my full-time job for that 3 weeks was to find a job. In terms of how I got the options, I have developed over the course of my career a good reputation and several really important mentors, people who have vouched for me, people who have supported me along my process. One of them is Seth Dobrin, who at the time was the president of the Responsible AI Institute, which I'm a board advisor for. And he connected me with a few people immediately, as well as other people.
Responsible what? AI?
The Responsible
AI Institute. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
He connected me with people. I was on LinkedIn, you know, doing what I do from a sales perspective, but now looking for a job and I'm the product. So it was very, it felt natural. It was scary for the first few days, but then I started getting interviews and then I'm in the mode, right? I'm maxed out.
So you reach out to Seth, you reach out to the mentors like via LinkedIn or email or whatever, let them know. Do you tell them, because I get this question sometimes, should I tell people I've been let go? What was your approach?
That's a fair question. I think
you had a lot of concern about reputational risk too.
And I think those were valid.
Stigma.
Warranted and valid reputational risk, because it wasn't my first time leaving a startup, right? In the prior year, I had left a company and went to a startup, and then that startup folded. I didn't get let go, but I had to get out because it was under a lot of pressure. So I left for another startup, and then that startup laid me off. So like for me, my reputation as a job hopper is not something that I think is valuable in my career. I don't want that reputation. I want the best opportunity for me, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to be looked at as a job hopper. I want to go somewhere and deliver and be looked at as, wow, I'm glad that person was here. So I was worried, about who I reached out to. And I think for anyone listening, it's important to think about what your reputation is with somebody before you reach out to them and tell them you were let go. Because if they don't think that highly of you and you were reaching out to them and letting them know bad news about you and asking them for help, like maybe you should find someone else.
Their reputation could be at stake as well. You know, they have to really, well, like if they, well, cause they may decide not to vouch for you just for fear that if they do, like they don't really trust that it'll reflect, you know, well on them. But if someone knows you, they're like, oh, Alex ended up here not because he's not great,
absolutely,
but because, you know, some things happened to Alex. I'm still going to vouch for Alex as the product, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't want to, it's always, you're always trying to build the best reputation for yourself with everyone in your network that you possibly can. So if somebody already doesn't think that highly of me or is not a huge fan of mine, I'm not bringing them bad news. That's not a valuable investment on my end. I'm going to wait to pull up on them after I have some good news so that I can improve that impression that they have of me. So I'm going to the people, to your point, who already think highly of me, who know that if I was let go, you know, it's like when you have a breakup, you go to that friend who's going to be like, man, they were bugging. Like, that's who you want to go to in this environment. You want to go to somebody who supports you.
Yeah. And then would vouch for you. So that led you to a couple of, not just interviews, but like, because you're niching into, and people who want to break into tech, I feel like, listen up, because like you targeting, were you specifically targeting startups? Because I feel like that, because it's such a smaller sort of, I don't know, like company, fewer people in between you and leadership, you're able to get that face time with leadership pretty quickly, you know, versus like applying to Meta or Google and, you know, going into this huge stratosphere. That's just like, it's hard to break into.
You need to understand what your leverage is. So for me and the skill set I have and the track record I have the ability to go to a startup who needs the job that I do, which is sales, and say, you should consider me, right? But if you're brand new and trying to break into the tech space and you're trying to get a job like the one I have right now, it might be more beneficial for you to go to a bigger company who is hiring more people at once, who has a training program, like what I did when I joined IBM, right? Mm-hmm. That would be maybe a good use of your time, because if you go to a startup, they're expecting you to be ready-made. They want you to have gone through training already. They want you to be ready to literally join. And at Fiddler, I was having meetings with customers like a week after I joined, because I already knew the space. I was already, you know, enough of an expert to be able to.
They don't have time to train.
Yeah, they didn't need to. Yeah, they didn't want to have to train anyone. So that's the leverage I had coming in. If I were brand new and I were trying to get into a sales job, I would go somewhere with a training program that allows me to generate more skills and a track record of success. And then if I decide eventually I want to be in startups, which is how my career, you know, went, then I can do that. And now a startup is a lot more likely to look at me because I have a track record of success and I've been trained already in a you know, a valuable program.
Okay. All right. That's really helpful. I think that's really good to note as well. Like, and I bring up IBM because I've got some clients who work for IBM, and I'm like, shout out to the big companies who give people a foundation of experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's no shade to going to a big old company. But I think what's great is that you weren't afraid to change your mind and you weren't afraid to go in a different direction. And I recently heard a statistic that was like the highest, and this is a basketball reference, okay, so obviously I don't know what I'm talking about, but this stat was like the top five highest scoring players were also the top five highest missed basket players. What do you call that? Bricks?
Yeah, so like they had them bricks. Yeah, you do call them bricks. So field goals missed. So they probably had the most, because they're shooting a lot.
No, basketball, that's not a field goal, is it?
Yeah, it's called a field goal. It's confusing. This is a tough
What?
It is, yeah.
The thing that Shaq can't do, that's a field goal?
That's a free throw.
Oh, okay, anyway.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, in order to get the wins, get the house, get the Airbnb, you know, get the debt paid off, you had to make, like, a lot of, like, take some risks, like, go for it, you know? And the layoff being one of the times that it didn't, that you could perceive it as like, oh, took that shot, it didn't pay off. But look at all the things that, you know, all the chances you did take that did pay off. And I feel like a lot of people that I work with and even who listen to the show just are like, love coming back because it's like giving you permission, helping you feel safer, you know, taking that shot. Because failing is scary. I have failed. I will fail, you know, in the future with some projects that I pursue, but I'm also going to really succeed because I'm going to keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why I loved when you first started the show. Like I'm an artist. So I vibe with concepts and names and even brands and logos. Thanks to wearing ours again. By the way, like follow it. Us at Pineapple Cut Pictures on Instagram, or you can follow me at Alex J. Woodruff. See? I may not be on in a few months. I might have to leave.
You should have said at the beginning of the show, as I will,
that's
because
fine.
That's what most listenership is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Brown Ambition, the name, it speaks to everything you just said. It's like you have to have that be your affirmation. Be ambitious, be audacious when you have the ability to. Like, those are things that have served me very well. Is when I know that I understand what it is I'm doing, I'm good. Those are the times to be audacious. Those are the times to try to go a step further than maybe where you'd be comfortable. And that's how you're gonna, for example, I built a house after I first bought a condo. That was pretty audacious, but I did have a little bit of a foundation because I had renovated my condo. So those things, you know, are important to try. And now whatever I do next, who knows, right? But it's going to be something that's audacious because that's just part of my DNA.
I mean, writing and directing your first feature.
It's a short. Yeah, short film. Yeah.
I've learned that from Project Greenlight. It's a short, but still it's really freaking amazing. I wish I could be there in person to see it, but I want to end on that note, just like talking about the audacity of Brown Ambition and how you personify that. And I'm just so damn proud of you, baby bro.
Thank you so much. And the feeling is way mutual. I'm so happy. I wish Tiff could be here. I'd tell her too, but
it's okay.
Y'all are
maybe you'll come back on the show.
I want to be back.
After you win your Oscar.
I'm gonna be watching the reviews on this one, or I want to get the listening.
Well, I don't know. You're gonna have to be on IG because that's where the BA fam is on IG interacting with our clips. Also, you can listen to this on or watch on YouTube if you want to see how much Alex may or may not look like me, y'all. Me. I am the original doppelganger, not Drake.
Yeah.
People, no one used to say you look like Drake.
When his hair goes down, yeah, it's pretty uncanny how much we look like.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll always be number one. All right, Alex James, Mischief Managed.
Wow, I love it.
It was either.
Thank you.
It was either the Pineapple Cut shirt or the Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone t-shirt that you gave me that I couldn't find.
That's the shirt I brought you. Okay, I knew I brought you a shirt. That's what
and I knew it wasn't Pineapple Cut, but you know what? I just moved on from that, but you came around. All right. Thank you, Alex, for joining Brown Ambition.
You
guys, please run to go follow Pineapple Cut Pictures on IG, where you can stay abreast of all the news. You've got your shorts are entering film festivals, and I hope people get a chance to see My Store Magic, which is just so cute, so sweet and adorable and heartwarming and beautifully shot. Just gorgeous. The colors. I mean, so much of it. And also Forgive Us is one of the films that really, very different than Mice Were Magic, but another short that y'all have done. And good luck this weekend making your first film.
Thank you.
I won't try to call or text you. Don't worry.
I won't answer.
But I will. You won't answer. That's good. Focus on the art.
Yeah, I will be very, very busy.
Yeah.
But thank you.
It's so dope. All right. Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.